Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Long time television play-by-play voice for your Cleveland Indians. He's Matt Underwood. Matt, how you doing this afternoon, bud?
Good, Chico. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. So let's start here. I think this is probably the easiest way. Indians 39 games into the season. And if I said to you before the season started, 39 games in, middle of May, Tribe's going to be 21-18, 3.5 games back of first place, what would your reaction be?
I'd say I'd take it. I'll sign up for that, yeah. Because, you know, coming into this season, we knew pretty much everything we've seen has kind of played out. You knew it was going to be a young lineup. You knew that at times it was going to be a struggle to score runs. You knew that behind Bieber, Plesac, and Savali, you had a couple of really young, inexperienced arms in the rotation. I think probably the biggest pleasant surprise has been how good, how dominant the bullpen has been. Because, you know, there were some question marks there, too. We hadn't really seen Class A pitch after missing last year. You knew Karinchak had the tools. The question was, you know, could he be consistent? And he really has. You didn't know what you were going to get from Brian Shaw coming back after he'd been out in Colorado in the National League and Seattle last year. But those three guys have really saved the, you know, the bullpen. And Nick Whitgren, I think, you know, a couple of rough outings early, but he's been really good. I think that's been a really pleasant surprise. And that's why, for the most part, that's why they're 21-18. That bullpen, you give them the lead late, pretty much it's a lockdown victory. When they've had Plesac, when they've had Savali, and obviously Shane Bieber, those guys give you a chance to win. You're going to have Plesac tonight. Hopefully he can stop this losing streak. But I think the other things you knew going in, there were going to be some growing pains. And that, you know, when you say that, Chico, we all say, okay, growing pains. But then when you see it, it's frustrating. It's hard. Even though you knew going in you were going to have these kind of days and games and moments, it's still frustrating because they're so close. You feel like they're so close to breaking through, but they just haven't been able to do it consistently.
You know, Matt, I was saying earlier in the show that when you talk about the struggles right now with Henches and somewhat McKenzie, that, you know, we've kind of been spoiled over the years that not so much even just the dominance at the top, whether it's Kluber or Bieber, but 4 and 5, a lot of times those were guys like Trevor Bauer or Clevinger. And now it's like, hey, they're operating like most teams do, where the bottom part of the rotation can be guys shuttling back and forth or a veteran on a cheap deal at the end of his career. Carl Willis said it best the other day. He's like, look, Henches and McKenzie, great thing is they're learning at the big league level. The bad thing is, well, they're learning at the big league level. And that's kind of what we're seeing play out here, at least at the bottom of that rotation.
Yeah, Carl said, you know, it's the best place to learn. It's also the hardest place to learn because
yep. –
There are no games where you can say, well, just let them stay out there and let them learn. No, you're trying to win, and so that becomes difficult. I think, Chico, to your point, you're right. We sort of did get spoiled there for a while because every young pitcher that came up just stepped right in, and there was really no learning curve. There was no fallback. They just picked up. I mean, the standard was set, and each pitcher that came up knew I have to pitch to that standard. I think what we're seeing more than anything with Henches and McKenzie in particular, had we not had a pandemic last year, had those guys been able to progress normally through a minor league season, log innings, get more experience, I don't think we would see the wild inconsistency with those guys that we're seeing. But because the lack of competition last year for Henches completely, and McKenzie only had the abbreviated season, and he was coming off not a lot of innings in the minor leagues prior to that, you're just seeing guys that are they should be probably by all rights at AAA finishing their development, and yet they're already in the big leagues because of the need, and they're missing a big chunk of that developmental phase, and so it's frustrating at times. But the good news for me is that you see the talent. You know, it's not like these guys are flipping it up there at 91 miles an hour and you're thinking, well, they've got to be perfect. You know, they've got swing and miss stuff. You see McKenzie, they don't put a lot of balls in play on him. He's just got to consistently command the strike zone. And I think the same thing to a certain degree goes with Sam Henches as well.
Indians in action tonight again, coming in 21-18, 3.5 games back of the White Sox. They've lost 4 in a row. Zach Plesac on the hill tonight out in L.A. So, Matt, now we move to the offense, and like you said, I mean, we all knew it was going to be a struggle, but when you actually see certain things play out, the first base thing play out, and, you know, some other areas struggle as far as, you know, shortstop. I mean, other areas of the diamond. How much can we expect there to be reinforcements coming? I mean, everybody talks about Owen Miller, and he's hitting the cover off the ball. How realistic that you is it to think that you've got guys coming up that can handle it both offensively and to remedy the situation?
Well, I think there's certainly a lot of hope and a lot of promise. You mentioned Owen Miller, but primarily he's played second base and third base. Well, there's no openings there. You know, Jose plays every day. Cesar plays every day. So they've worked him in at first base, trying to get some experience there. I think, though, you know, when you look at where the Indians are at, and look, some of this is just based on need and just sort of the way things have fallen. You have guys that are learning new positions, again, learning at the big league level, and that's not an easy thing to do. Josh Naylor is probably his best position is first base, but he's been learning and playing the outfield. You know, Jake Bowers defensively has been fine at first base. Offensively, it's been a real struggle for him. And, you know, the same thing at shortstop. Ahmed Rosario was a shortstop. They moved him to the outfield, and so he's been going back and forth, and I think at times maybe that has played a factor into his defensive issues. You know, Jimenez is still a very young player, and so, you know, playing time hasn't been maybe as consistent, and I think Tito's trying to get Rosario in there against the left-handed bats or left-handed pitchers, and they've faced a lot of lefties already this year. So, you know, I think the thing with the offense more than anything is that they're relying on Jose Ramirez, and he's been terrific. They're relying on Franmil Reyes. When he's hot, he's out of this world, but he's been really scuffling. And the same thing goes with Eddie Rosario. Those three have to produce. If they don't, it puts a lot of undue pressure on those young guys. And what you're seeing, and Tito, I thought he put it perfectly, is that young hitters, they just go up there, and instead of looking, let's say, middle in for a fastball, they're trying to cover both sides of the plate. They're trying to hit the breaking ball, the fastball, the changeup. And, you know, too many times they get caught in between because they're trying to catch everything. And they just need to, at some point, try to simplify that offensive approach and you know, let the chips fall where they may. And because I think it would probably help. And it's easier said than done. That's the other the other side of the coin, as Tito has also said. You know, it's one thing to say that. It's one thing to have that plan. It's another thing to stand in that box and stare down, you know, 98-mile-an-hour bullets and filthy sliders and stay with that plan. So, again, those are the growing pains that every young hitter goes through, and we're seeing a lot of these guys go through it at the same time.
Matt, you mentioned approach, and if we go back to last year, and I know it was a crazy year with, you know, everything, truncated schedule, everything, but I remember Sandy Alomar Jr., obviously in for Tito with the health concerns, and Sandy, after one of those games, just came out and said, like, you know what? Our guys really need to understand that they're at the major league level, and their approach has been, and I don't even think he necessarily just saying the Indians. He was talking about them, but he was talking about baseball in general. Do you think that's gotten better? And is that an issue not just for the Indians but across baseball as far as guys getting in the box, and do they really have an approach per se to their at-bat?
Well, the numbers clearly indicate that the approach has changed drastically from the baseball that we watched growing up as kids. The approach now is try to hit home runs. I think hitters have fallen into whether you want to call it a trap or just a state of mind that, look, these pitchers are so far ahead of us, we're not going to be able to string together 3-4 hits in an inning and score runs. So the approach has sort of become an all or nothing, and that's dangerous because, you might hit some home runs, but then you're going to have games where we've seen recently the Indians went, I think, about 0-for-20 with runners in scoring position. And that's frustrating because you see the opportunities. The chances are there. But if you don't have that good fundamental approach to stay on the ball, to take it the other way, to take your base hits, you can't just flip a switch and say, okay, well, in this at-bat, I'm going to just focus on trying to go up the middle. The approach is more of a try to lift the ball, try to hit it out of the park, and that just leads to bad habits. And when these guys are throwing 95-plus and they can ride it up in the strike zone, you're not going to be able to lift that pitch in the air. It's very difficult to do. There's a couple of guys we've seen that can do it, like Shohei Ohtani last night, but not many can do it. And so you end up with this sort of all-or-nothing offensive game plan, and it's tough to change on the fly. And to your point, Chico, it's something that, until it starts at the grassroots level and guys start coming up and knowing that they can get paid to be a 280 to 300 hitter, even if they don't hit 25 home runs, I don't know when it's going to change anytime soon.
Couple more minutes with Matt Underwood. Again, longtime television voice for your Cleveland Indians in action tonight against the Angels tonight and tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, Matt, you just mentioned him, Ohtani. Look, you've traveled. You've done this a while. You've seen a lot of great games and great performances and great players. But Ohtani, I would think even for you, a veteran of the business, this is different, man. Like, this dude, he's throwing 97, he's leading the league in home runs, and he's a damn good base stealer. How excited are you to watch him tomorrow?
I'm excited to see him pitch for sure. I mean, we've seen the offense. We've seen what he can do. I mean, he can cover both sides of the plate, up, down. I mean, he really is. I don't want people to think I'm just using this as a crutch cliche. He's a once-in-a-generational player. I mean, I've never seen anybody like him. I mean, I've seen Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, who were out-of-this-world athletes and were able to play two professional sports at the same time. That's freakish. I mean, that's rare in and of itself. What this guy's doing, being able to pitch and still, play a position and really command the strike zone as a hitter as well as a pitcher, I don't know that we've ever seen anybody do that with any kind of success. There have been guys that have tried to be two-way players, but very few have ever succeeded. And this guy's doing it at the highest level. So, it's like one of those things. You want to see the Indians have success, but they're going to have their hands full. It's going to be a challenge because this guy is just, you wonder, like, why is it so rare, right? I mean, what was it that gave this guy, of the thousands and thousands of players that we've seen over the years, why is it that this guy's been able to do it and nobody else has been?
Yeah, he is something else, no doubt, and he's going to be on the mound tomorrow. Before I let you go, we've got Bob DiBiasio coming at 6, but good news coming out in terms of the capacity. That's going to be basically full capacity on June 2nd. I think that coincides with the day game against the Sox. Masks for those that are vaccinated, don't have to wear them. So good news, and hopefully we're going to see some big crowds as we get into the month of June, Matt.
Yeah, I think everybody's excited. It's been slow. Maybe in some ways, I think by nature as human beings, we just want to say, okay, it's over, let's go. We want to just close the door on COVID and move forward. But it doesn't happen that way in reality. So we've slowly moved. Last year we had no fans, and that was the most bizarre thing. I hope I never have to deal with that again. This year we started with limited capacity, and that's grown a little bit, and it's getting bigger. And as you said, we're going to be at full max capacity in early June, and hopefully that's a signal for all of us that, a return to life as we knew it before is truly on the horizon.
Good perspective right there. Matt, always a pleasure catching up with you, buddy. Let's hope we can snap that losing streak tonight with Plesac on the bump, and looking forward to your call this evening. Thanks for the time, bud.
You got it, Chico. Thank you. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.